Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. I am your host for tonight's show, the Reverend Henrietta Byrd. And Glenn is enjoying the holiday. Glenn Greenwich, who's usually with us from New York, is enjoying the holiday. He may call in if he doesn't get it, but just have fun, Glenn. He doesn't get a chance to do that very often. So thank you all for being here. Tonight we have a wonderful, wonderful show prepared for you, and it's a nice conversation about our declaration of the International Black Summit. You hear us recite it, you hear us generate it, you hear us discuss it, you hear us distinguish it. Over the years, you've heard us do this. But our facilitator from Chicago, who was with us last week, is going to join us again tonight, and we're going to have another conversation about the Declaration of the International Black Summit. Before we get started, just want to remind you that the annual summit event is in Guyana, South America this year, and the dates are August 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It begins at 9 a.m. if you have never experienced the summit annual event. 9 a.m. on Thursday, and it starts at 6 p.m. if you have already. At 9 a.m. is the prerequisite course. The opening ceremonies begin. And that's Eastern time. That's 9 a.m. Eastern time and 6 p.m. Eastern time. So, again, the annual summit event is in Guyana, South America, August 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. And you can go to blacksummit.org and register and pay for the summit. You can register and pay for the summit. All participants must do the prerequisite course. That prerequisite that I spoke about that's on August 3rd is also being given July 15th, virtually. July 15th. So if you want to go to South America on Thursday night or Friday morning, then we recommend that you participate in the prerequisite July 15th, which is a virtual prerequisite. Well, we'll talk more about it throughout the show. And if you have any questions, just remember to press the number one button to raise your hand. If you're online at Blog Talk Radio, that way there's a button you can click on to raise your hand. Let's begin with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. Thank you. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991, July 4th, everywhere that people of Black African descent reside, 2017, in the North and the South, the East and the West, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. So welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Again, I'm Henrietta, and our special facilitator guest tonight is Andrea, and we'll be joined also by other people. In the house with us is Claudie Chapman, and so and we have people online as well. So we're going to just again remind you of the dates. The annual summit event is August 3rd through the 6th. The virtual prerequisite is July 15th. And the on-site prerequisite is the Thursday, August 3rd, in Guyana. That will also be a virtual prerequisite. So you have the opportunity to do the prerequisite July 15th, August 3rd, and August 4th. If you have any questions about that, go to blacksummit.org and shoot us an email. Our phone number is there as well. Okay, let's get this conversation started. We have been in this conversation a lot in the last few days. Actually, a few minutes ago, and we keep distinguishing what exactly we mean. Well, I won't say what we mean or how we listen to the declaration of the International Black Summit. So I am going to turn it over to Andrea. And she's going to start this conversation with us. Welcome to the show.
I have a passion right now for looking at what those words mean to us and assuming what they mean and looking at what they mean to others in the international black community. I get that there may be some difference. The other day, he went on the internet and looked up the word "think tank." That definition really painted what he's looking at. And the distinction of the matter is the difference of contrast between similar and it's excellence that sets some from something from another. It's a marking off as different. And distinguishing as an adjective is the characteristic of one thing. For example, the biggest one for me is community. If I were to be distinguished community, what would that mean? And as I talk to other people, community for me is a place where we all have a mutual respect for one another, even when we're different. If we work together, we care for one another. And then for the community, community So when I look at the declaration, I hear that I'm seeing things this way. And then maybe other people see it a different way. And I'm interested in those different ways. In addition to kind of digging down and getting real clear on what's so safe to stand for me to live, to do my living.
Like to comment, please press number one on your phone, and that will raise your hand. I just want to check in and make sure that I see a number that looks like Glenn's number, and so I'm gonna open that mic. Glenn, are you there? Okay. So can you ask your last question again?
In looking at the declaration, from my perspective, it's a country. All of this will be a part of making our circulation real in life. And in our lives, that's how I look at humanity. And now, that may be a reality for me. It may be a way for us to get to work with other people. And then,
okay. So what I'm gonna do is open up. I have a 770-912. I'm gonna open their mic. Your mic is open.
Hey Henrietta, this is Sharon. Can you hear me?
Hi, Sharon.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Okay.
I can't really hear people when they're speaking.
I didn't hear you.
I couldn't really hear the last person speaking. So I can hear you, but whoever's on the other line, I couldn't hear them really, and it's kind of garbled.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sharon. Okay, so if you can just kind of review what you said, because there are Is this louder?
Louder.
Okay.
Sound
loud enough? Yes.
Now it sounds better, yes.
Okay. Hey, Sharon. What I was saying was, I was looking at the declaration and distinguishing the words and phrases in the declaration as it grounding me and having me be more powerful in the stand that I'm in because I'm clear about what I am saying and what's being said. I'm looking at it from my perspective. I'm interested in how other people see it in their perspective. And in all that, there's an assumption going on my part that the people in my community, in the International Black Summit community, are looking to do the same thing that I want to do because they're looking at creating that declaration and the purpose as a place to stand, to make decisions, to affect behavior and your relationships with other people. All those things we stand for, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, establishing nurturing relationships, providing human services, building economies to fund our community. I'm thinking we're looking that others are doing, approaching that in the same way that I am. And what I got present to today is that's not necessarily so. How I'm looking to make it happen is not necessarily to work, is not necessarily the way to work the International Black Summit in all lives. And do we need to even be in agreement about how to do that for it to work in our lives or for me to get what it is that I'm looking for in out of the International Black Summit? So I was asking a question, really, does anybody see what I'm seeing or what it is that you do see relative to how we relate to the Declaration of the International Black Summit?
Comment, anybody? Sharon, are you still there?
Did you call my name, Sharon?
Yeah, I was just wondering, were you able to hear?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and then I was asking if you had a comment.
Well, I've been in the International Black Summit since 1992. The first?
What year? 1992. Okay.
And the first summit was in 1991. So my understanding is that the declaration is actually a culmination of over 120 people's vision. And that in itself, to me, is miraculous in a society where it's like me, 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 my way or the highway. So for me, I think the declaration, as for our organization, is a powerful place to stand in, and it is what we use to guide us and to serve us as a complete body as a whole. And on a personal level, I think it's different to each person. I know there's certain parts of the declaration that I resonate with more than others. And, you know, my favorite part is we listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. So for me, that's kind of like standing and being unstoppable and being unreasonable and having unpredictable results show up. Or unpredictable results show up that, you know, was well beyond anything I could conceive. And another part that I especially particularly favor is, and that's just who I am, is in establishing nurturing relationships. And so for me, having nurturing relationships in my life, life is too short to be upset is important to me, to have people who are supporting me, nurturing me. We have complementary beliefs and goals and objectives, you know, and even standing in our question, we embrace all aspects of ourselves, including rage and fear, what is available for the transformation of the universe. I use we embrace all aspects of ourselves for me to embrace all aspects of people that I interact with, because everybody's not like me. But as I am able to be more accepting of who they are, that makes for having better nurturing relationships and, you know, more successful events. And since I'm a team leader for the media team and the virtual team, that comes in really handy when you're dealing with different attitudes and different mindsets on your team.
Sharon, can you say the last part again, since you are a team leader? I didn't hear the end
yes.
of it.
I said, since I'm a team leader, and I'm the team leader for the media team and the virtual team, as well as an active member of the leadership council and the facilitator body, it comes in really handy to be able to accept and embrace all aspects of other people as well. It just makes for a better relatedness and a better sense of creating nurturing relationships, and it helps to get things done.
So, Sharon, this is Andrea. So you're using the declaration, those things that are discussed in the declaration as resources for yourself and how you deal with operational issues, or does it extend even beyond operational issues? What you said, the nurturing relationship. So you use it on a personal level and on a...
Yes, I do. So it supports me in all areas of my life.
Do you turn it on or do you turn it off? Sometimes you use it, sometimes you don't, or do you work to stay in that space?
And you're going to hear a lot of fireworks in the background. Do I turn it on or turn it off? I didn't get that part.
Do you turn it off and turn it on? Sometimes you use it, sometimes you don't, or do you try to use it as a basis from which you operate?
I actually just hold it in the I hold it in the space that this is something that I'm committed to, and it just serves me. I mean, it's not like I'm necessarily reading it every day or anything like that, but I know it exists, and sometimes in extra dire times of need or particular focus, I may intentionally focus on it more directly. But it's just more a way of being. Does that answer your question?
That's what I'd like to hear. Thank you. And I get that's the space I stand in. And now I'm looking to see different spaces to stand in. I like it that I'm in agreement with you, and I'm also looking for different spins on it, because I didn't really get that there were different spins on it. I'm just getting present to that.
I see, yeah. I tend to take different things for what value I can get out of it and use it that way, and if it doesn't serve me, then I don't worry about it.
Sharon, thank you. I'm gonna, your mic is still open, but I'm gonna open up the mics. And Glenn, your mic is open. And 708-953, your mic is open. So if you have any contribution, as well as Claudia is here, you know, please just join here. Well, if you would like to share your contribution, I should say. I've kind of been talking about it all throughout the day, so I'm just looking for myself.
Yeah, it's you're having a great conversation, and what I love the most about it is that that for each of us is very unique. There's nothing that's the same, even though it's the same words, and even that I'm the same person, what I got yesterday is different than what I got the day before that, and it'll be different than what I'll get tomorrow as a possibility. So what I have to do is stand in the listening of what's available inside of that conversation that I love so much, called unpredictable results, that you shared about, Sharon, that has things show up in life that are unpredictable. You know, we were talking, Andrea and Henrietta and I were talking earlier today, and we talked about the allowing life to contribute to us. And when I allow life to contribute to me, I am way beyond what I saw possible for myself. And so the opportunity is for me to let go and let life give me the gifts that are for me, and just embrace it. So no matter where I am with myself in the conversation, where I am inside of the declaration, inside of my life, things change, and the opportunity and possibility keep opening up as long as I'm willing to be big enough to put my arms around what's being given to me. Back to you, Henrietta.
Thanks, Glenn. So let's talk a little bit about when things occur and they appear to be out of the realm of the declaration. Like, and I don't know if you can do that, because I don't know if that exists for you. Let me see, we were discussing, we were having this conversation earlier, and I think Claudia asked the question, when something comes from the outside to the inside, like from outside of the declaration or the summit, when you're dealing with someone who doesn't know the declaration or who's not grounded there, like, what is that like? I don't know if that's the right question. If that's the complete question. Todd, can you even ask that question, like, how do you be
Okay, let's take it another way. Can you hear me? Well, I'm going to do that. So, Glenn and Sharon, in the space where, for example, let's take the Bible. The Ten Commandments were not written for everybody. The Ten Commandments were written for a group of people who had just left Egypt. that they could build a nation. It didn't apply to everybody. And when the Israelites or the Hebrews would encounter other groups, the question was, did the Ten Commandments, did they have to speak to us, the other people that they encountered, as if the Ten Commandments applied to them as well? So, looking at the Declaration everybody's not inside the Declaration. Everybody's not, maybe hasn't even read it or heard it. And yet when we come in contact with people who have not had the experience of the Declaration, those people then get treated how? Do we engage in an experience of them inside the Declaration, or do we treat them different? I'm complete.
Hey, Henrietta, this is Sharon. I'd like to address that.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Because, Claudia, what I'm understanding you to say is we have our Declaration, but there are some people who aren't familiar with our Declaration, and you're asking how do we treat them? Do we treat them differently if they don't know about the Declaration? Am I understanding correctly?
Do we stand inside the Declaration and the assertion?
It's a little hard to hear you.
I know. We got firecrackers.
Me too.
Do we stand inside the Declaration and its assertion and its stand as we engage people who have not heard that conversation? Or do we treat them? Do we allow ourselves to treat them differently?
Got it. So for me personally, the Declaration is like a set of values, you could say, or norms, or social measures. And for me, I mean, I interact with people all the time who have no clue about the Declaration. When I go to work, when I go on projects, you know, when I'm in the community, a lot of people don't even know about the Declaration. But for me, what's important is for me to be true to my own values. So holding the Declaration as a tenet of values, I'm going to interact with each and every person from my own set of values. They may not even have heard of the Declaration, but I'm going to be standing in the Declaration, operating from the Declaration, because that's something that I value, and that's a part of me now. I've been doing this since 1992. So it's just a part of me, like tying my shoes. You know, it's not something I can easily explain how to tie your shoes. I have to think about that. But I just interact with people out of my own personal set of values, and the Declaration is one of those. Back to you guys.
Got it.
Yeah, let me jump in, Mr. Glenn. So let's take the phrase that's part of the Declaration, unpredictable results. Whether they know the Declaration of Summit or not, what does unpredictable results mean to you? And how is that possible? So you've now engaged them inside of the conversation of the Declaration through a phrase that's part of the Declaration that they may not have heard of the Declaration before, but you're engaging them in those words. Those words mean something to them. And so for me, that's an engagement and an opportunity to share well what we say in International Black Summer, or what I've gotten from the Declaration, which that phrase is used in the Declaration. I got X, Y, and Z. So you have an opportunity to share from the declaration, regardless if they've read the declaration or not, because they've got some relationship to that phrase, that word, that language. Back to you.
I think that was Sharon. I got both you and Glenn's comment. I think Glenn, you kind of turned it around a little bit, though. And here's what I'm pointing to. I'm pointing to a conversation about application of the standing in or application of aspects of the declaration in your professional life or your personal life with those outside of the International Black Summit. Our conversation was looking at, and Sharon pointed to it, that she has her personal values that she stands in professionally and otherwise that include the declaration, but I didn't get a sense that the declaration came first. And our conversation was looking at, is the declaration something that we engage in only when we are engaged in International Black Summit conversation or business? And when we're not engaged in International Black Summit conversation or business, do we allow ourselves the freedom, or some might say we just take off the clothes of the International Black Summit and go about business as usual, whatever usual was prior to the International Black Summit? So that's what we're inquiring about. And, I'll leave it at that. So what do you hear?
Sharon, Glenn, are y'all still there? Checking
in. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So it really isn't different for me than how I answered it originally. Because it now one thing that I can add to what I said, given what you said, is that before the declaration, I hadn't experienced the unpredictable results. I had some conversation about it. I got clearer and more present to it inside the distinction, the International Black Summit. Now, as Sharon said earlier, it's the ground of being that I'm speaking from. And so for me, it's all International Black Summit. Because I speak about the International Black Summit in front of white people, Spanish people, Chinese people, whoever. And so there's no difference, because I've embraced that and I own the International Black Summit as who I am, as my being, especially as a facilitator of that conversation. So maybe there's something about being a facilitator or just not. I'm not sure. But I know, as speaking as a facilitator, I'm always facilitating the International Black Summit. So I don't know if that answers your question or not. I'm going to go back on mute because there's a whole lot of activity in my area as well.
Thank you, Glenn.
And I do have an additional.
You're welcome.
I'm not just looking for what
Andrea, it's hard to hear you. This is Sharon.
Okay.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Can you hear me better?
He's talking barely.
I want to explore it a little bit more in that when you're taking it on for yourself, you're applying it to different aspects of your life. I mean, it just permeates everything that you do. Do you think it makes a difference in terms of okay, let me get clear here for myself. I'm thinking that if I'm turning it on and turning it off, I may not be as effective. And I'm wondering, am I just making that up? Do I find more power in my being when I am consistently being a one way? And it's kind of like my training in living has taught me that you stay the same way all the time. That's where you're going to get your best results. That's where you're going to be, is when you're consistent. And when you are maybe turning something on or turning something off, you're in a sense being in conflict with yourself. And Henrietta has had numerous conversations with the healer and noticing that if you are not, if you are in conflict, let's say that, if you are in conflict with anything in yourself, it will manifest in your physical body. And it generally shows up as illness, correct? Or disease. So if you had anybody had any thoughts on that, I'd like for you to share. And that's the basis of that is turning it on and turning it off, being one way in the summer space and then going outside of the summer space and doing what you think it needs to be done to deal with people where they are.
This is Sharon. I like to respond to that. Is that okay, Henrietta?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. So, Andrea, I'm hearing you having a conversation around turning the declaration on and turning it off. How you be in one setting, maybe another, and also being, you know, the value of being true to yourself and being consistent. So for me, I still stand on what I said before because this is just part of the values. And what I like about the declaration is keep in mind that this declaration is a culmination of 120 plus people's declaration. So the value in that is you ain't got to agree with everything and do everything and all of it all the time. The value is whatever is called you, then that supports you. So when in the International Black Summit, we have a tool, a distinction called clearing. And when I was first getting used to that, you know, people would say, well, one way of the clearing is like a noun, you just clear off the table. Another clearing is a clearing like the clearing like a space. And so I know if I'm in the clearing in corporate America, I'm going to be a certain way. If I'm in the clearing called my parents, I'm going to be a certain way. If I'm in the clearing called I'm hanging with my girls or hanging out with my boyfriend, then I'm going to be a certain way. And those ways may be different from the outside looking in, but the foundational piece is I'm going to be true to me. And so since I value the declaration and I go in and out of different components of the declaration, you know, the declaration is really more not for the other person in my book. It's for me. It's for empowering me. It's for helping me interact with all those other clearings, interact with people who don't know about the summit or the declaration. So I'm actually using it as a support system for me. And I used to, way back when, the International Black Summit and the Declaration was like, I called it the Trinity. So I had my spiritual, like church and all that kind of stuff. I had the International Black Summit. And I had some other, like Black Studies, Black History, different things along those lines, Egyptology, all of that stuff. Those things were like the three tenets for me, like my Trinity. So I had my spiritual basis. I had the basis close in African spirituality, African history, my history, our history, Black history. I'm going to say the true history that we don't always learn about, and the International Black Summit. So all of those were my Trinity that gave me a space, and in on a daily basis, it gave me a space to take refuge in when I was faced with challenges or up against something. Because I tell you, being in corporate America, especially at the time I was living in California, so I'm always bumping up with different forms of racism or covert racism, or being a Black professional, I'm bumping up with, you know, other Caucasian professionals always challenging what I got to say. So I've been into experience of just blatant outrage racism in the workplace. And this has helped me to support myself, stay sane in some of this stuff that could drive me crazy, and stand in a position of power. So, and what's the saying? I'm in it but not of it. All of this supported me. So for me, the declaration again is my empowerment tool. I don't care what anybody else does with it, you know, because that's, I feel it's individual to each person, but for me, I'm going to be me, and I may focus in and utilize a certain part of the declaration more heavily depending on the circumstances I'm in. But I always have it as a foundational piece. Back to you, Henrietta.
Thank you,
Andrea.
I'm here.
I can't hear Andrea.
You know, let me jump in. Let me jump in for a second. You know,
okay.
You know, one of the things that was interesting was when you asked that in and out conversation. I immediately went to church, and that people are in church. They leave church service, and then they're in the parking lot being nasty, you know. So in and out conversation. So I noticed I got a little triggered about that. I was the inside of a trigger, and then I noticed that from that conversation, I also noticed that one of the things is being present. And there are times when I'm present, and there are times when I'm not present. And so so really the in-out conversation for me points to me being present or not. And so there are times when I am, and there are times when I'm not. That yeah. Back to you.
Even in that present and not present, is there always an underlying intention?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because this work is not a turn-on, turn-off work. The body of work that I've taken on for my life inside of this conversation is not, there is a point when I feel like it and I don't feel like it, but it's bigger than that. So my intention and my commitment are to shift. My intention and my commitment are to produce unpredictable results, and the area that I'm looking to do that in is in economic development in my community, in local communities. And so I'm using that as the model inside of my vision, inside of my purpose, and my intentionality. So all of those are kind of lined up. And so when they're lined up and I'm present to them, then stuff happens, and I'm going to say magically. But it's really not magic, because it really has to do with that intentionality and purpose.
There's power in an intention.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a fan of the late Dr. Wayne Dyer, and that book, The Power of Intention, is one of the first books of his that I read. And if you also look at the Hicks's work that they do around intentionality, they talk about intentionality as well. And so Asking It Is Given is the book that the Hicks wrote. And inside of those two books, you really see that your intentionality manifests itself. Now, it may not, and see, the tricky part about it is that you've got to not have it wired that you know what it's going to look like. So I have an intention to cause the manifestation of economic development in Southeast Queens. And I've got to be open to what life is going to provide for me inside of what that looks like. Because it may not look like what I think it should look like, or I want it to look like, or I would like to have it look like. But I have to be willing to, inside of that intentionality, allow for the manifestation of that intention. Does that make sense?
Yeah, another question in that. And these questions are definitely, they're kind of leading. When you're the intentionality of economic development and in Queens, and I know you said a specific area of Queens too, I just didn't want to say that incorrectly. Southeast. So when you come to Chicago, are you still that intention?
So I actually misspoke. So my intentionality for economic development is worldwide. So wherever I go, I'm looking at what can cause the manifestation of economic development in that community. Now the truth about it is that I probably have more say-so in Southeast Queens. And the training that I'm getting from doing the work that I'm doing in Southeast Queens, in Chicago, in Detroit, in L.A., in Maine, in New Hampshire, wherever.
And my question is, what I'm looking at, does it make you more powerful in your stand that you do not turn it off?
Well, so the turning off is not an intentional turn off. but it's, you know, it's not something that I will consciously do. Now, there may be times when I'm not on point or not, you know, not present. And then something will occur, or I'll notice that my commitment is for economic development, and I just did something that's not consistent with that commitment. And then I'll wake up to the fact, oh, you're off track. So then at that moment, I then have the opportunity to put myself back on track or to stay on the track that I, or be off the track. So it's a moment-by-moment conversation. So in this moment, I'm present. In the next moment, I'm not. In the next moment, I'm present again. And maybe the next 3 moments, I'm not. But I have to call myself to pass. And the things that I know about myself that I will look for or listen for that allows me, that tells me that I'm off, that I'm off track. Could be a gut feeling. Could be a, oh, Glenn, you said you weren't going to do that again. Why did you just did that? What's up with that? What are you thinking? You know, here's a missed opportunity. You could have powerfully moved this by doing this differently. Oh, got it. Okay, I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't focused. Okay, what do I need to do? So now I can reinvent myself in that moment. Because all we have is the moment. We don't have anything else but moments. So in this moment, you know, what am I present to? And then that's gone, and then what's the next moment? So it's a moment by moment thing. That I don't know that it could be that intentionally turned on and off necessarily, but part of it, which is what one of the other distinctions I love about the summit is clearing, is being the ability to clear myself and to get back on track and to notice when I'm triggered, and notice that the trigger sent me in a particular place. And to come back. Oh, wow, you just got triggered. Oh, that was weird. Okay, cool. Now where are you? Come on back. Get back on point. Or not. Or say, you know, I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to chill. You know, I'm going to wallow in this spot for a while. And, you know, and I'm going to give myself an hour, 2 hours, a day, a week, a month. To wallow, and then I'll get back on track. But have it be a choice and not just a haphazard, capricious thing that just occurs, and I'm occurring inside of that occurring. And I, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, hello, what's happening? Oh, where am I? Who am I? What's my name?
Got it.
This is Sheila Mansfield.
Go for it, Sheila.
Hi. Going back to the question about being about business as usual, and also comparing it with religious or being religious or being spiritual. If I don't think it's possible once you internalize any parts of the declaration to go back to business as usual. Because you've made a decision to declare and you have an intention. As being religious or spiritual, religious going through the tradition and going through the rote of whatever the ceremony is, or being spiritual, having that connection with what you believe and responding and to life and your world and your affairs in that aspect of that spirituality. So I don't think you can talk about business as usual unless you have not accepted the declaration in any, at any aspect of it. Does that make sense?
For Andrea, absolutely.
Yeah, that's I mean, you actually spoke what I was saying.
I'm not understanding it.
Can't hear whoever's speaking.
Andrea said, what did you say, Andrea?
Absolutely. Andrea said absolutely. And I'm saying, you know, Sheila kind of spoke it the way I would say, is once you've embraced something, I don't even think you have to be present to it. It's kind of a part of who you are. You know, like once you've embraced it. And there are certain, you know, I'm as I listen to this conversation, like there are certain beliefs, like core beliefs that I have that I don't have to think about until I'm challenged, you know, until I'm triggered by something. And I have to sometimes pull myself, you know, off of a particular way of being and take myself back to those beliefs. Sometimes in my wanting things to be a particular way. But one of the things that I know is that what you believe, it's like your beliefs, they manifest in your life. They show themselves in your life, and sometimes you are unaware of it, but other people can see it. Like that happens a lot, and so, you know, I can remember a girl who goes to my church. I was talking to her one day. And she said to me, she said, you're in the International Black Summit, aren't you? And she could tell from my speaking, you know, so that's what I'm talking about. Like there's certain things once you embrace them may become a part of you. And I think whether you're intentional about it or not, if something has become a part of you, that's how you live, you know. So that's what I was going to say. Andrea, I'm going to give it back to you.
What I heard, that there was a passion for in our conversation this evening was we listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. That sounds like a thing that kind of turns some of us on. And I think we tapped into what that means for us. And Henrietta was asking me about a conversation for the next show, and I would suggest in terms of distinguishing is looking at, we assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. Really, what does that mean for us?
Well, that's good.
That's a great conversation.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's wonderful. What I'm trying to repeat it. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. So let's look at that over the next week and see what we see. You know, and remember, you know, Glenn's statement was, this is a moment-to-moment conversation, so when we get off,
this call, we may see a particular way of being inside of that, and tomorrow it may look differently. So if you would, like, take it on and even maybe jot down the different thoughts that you had and bring it back to the talk show next Tuesday, we would appreciate it. And that's kind of where we're going to pick up the conversation, as well as letting you know more and more about the annual summit event. So, Andrea, thank you for leading us tonight. Claudia, thank you.
You're welcome.
Sharon, thank you. Sheila, thank you. And Glenn, of course, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Right. And please join
us again
this week. Yes, thank you. Please join us this week. Remember, there's some things that are going on that you need to know about. And Sheila, I'm really glad that you're on, because we are having summit parties in different states and different cities. I should say, in one of the cities is Chicago. So a summit party is a place where you can come and do the summit virtually with a group of people. So you will interact just as if you're there in the summit. And remember, the summit is August 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. And, you know, let us know through email if you're interested. And if you're interested in attending one of the parties. Also, register, go to blacksummit.org and register. If you register with a group or a family, the cost is $150 per person. Now, a group is two or more people. Our family is whoever you say is in your family. And that's like a $100 discount if you register with someone. The other thing is, we have rates for seniors that are, I think, $150 and youth. If you are in Guyana, your rate is $35, right? And that rate is only for the Guyanese people. So we have a prerequisite course that's coming up on the 15th, and it's a virtual prerequisite. So it's online. You can sit in the convenience of your home and do the prerequisite. And remember, the prerequisite prepares you for the annual summit event. It also shares many, many different aspects of the summit, the different distinctions. There's listening that you experience in that. That is a separate fee. The prerequisite is a separate fee, and it is $100 for that course. And it is required of everybody who does the summit. So if you've never taken a prerequisite course, you will have to take the prerequisite before the annual summit event experience. So please let people know that they can have summit parties wherever they are, you know, people that you share the summit with. Let them know that they can have a party, and we will, once they let us know, we'll send them all the information on how to host a party, a facilitation that will take place at that party as well. All the connections that they will, they will need so that they can tune in virtually. Make sure they know that. Also, the International Black Summit will have representatives on Straight Talk, which is a television show in Chicago, this Friday evening at 8 p.m. And we'll also be on Cliff Kelly's show on WVON next week. So, Sharon, if you're still on, if you could share a little bit about that, because I have the date and the time for Straight Talk, but VON, I don't have that date and that time in front of me. Are you still on, Sharon?
Yes, Henrietta, thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Yes, the Cliff Kelly Straight Talk is going to be Friday, as you said, I mean, not Chris Kelly, WL Space Ops. And Chris Kelly, we're looking at either Thursday or Friday of next week. We haven't quite finalized the date. And I believe his show comes on around 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. So it's for a straight talk, it's actually a wonderful opportunity to get a sense of the summit. We'll probably be discussing some of the history. We'll have members that represent the summit in-house in the studio, as well as people from all over calling in. Well, not calling in. We'll be on video conferencing using a program called Zoom. And it's just a great opportunity to get some more in-depth knowledge. Matter of fact, we were on his show May 31st, which you can go to YouTube and listen to that. And we had two young adults who were considering attending the summit, but they hadn't quite made up their mind. But after participating and hearing what we had to share, they enrolled, not only enrolled and registered, but they're going to Guyana. So that's an unpredictable result, as we've been discussing. So come with your questions. Come prepared to hear the history, the values, the declarations, our questions and declarations. We also have going simultaneously this August is the Youth Summit, ages 8 to 17, and the young adults, ages 18 to 35, running simultaneously in August next month as well. Hope that addressed your question,
Tinian. Thank you, Sharon. I appreciate it. Again, send us an email if you're interested in any of the things you need more information. Go to blacksummit.org, and that's our website, www.blacksummit.org. And any questions or comments that you have or about it. I just want to remind you, yes, you do need a passport to go to Guyana. There are no shots required, but there are shots that are recommended. And the recommended shots are malaria and yellow fever. I think there's one other one.
And Indiana, I would say that Zika virus, because of all the mosquitoes.
Right. Say it again, Sharon.
Zika, Z-I-K-A, the Zika virus shot.
Right, the Zika virus shot because of the mosquito. Some of the things that you will need to know. But again, go to blacksummit.org. Again, thank you, Andrea and Claudie and everybody else who joined in the conversation tonight. You know, remember to take a look at the conversation for next week. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. And
hey,
you know,
Henrietta,
let's talk
can I add something to that?
Okay. Hold on, one minute.
Uh huh.
Go ahead.
We that line that we're taking, we assert that we are responsible for generating community of possibility and distinction. We also have another version, which is the I version, which is I assert that I am responsible for generating community of possibility and distinction. So that may give people a little more, something more they could resonate with. Back to you, Henrietta.
Thanks, Sharon. I really appreciate that. So we're looking forward to continuing this conversation next Tuesday. And please share with the others so that they can join in the conversation and get something for themselves. Share the summit with others so that this opportunity that's provided to participants to bring into being their vision for the Black community and the world can be shared with other people that you know. So thanks again. Good night, and God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, and God bless.
Good night.